Okay. Let me tell you what we're going to be doing. I was saying for a while that when we finish this parak and when we finish the last parak in Maral, that we would do a little bit chassidus. So I don't know if everybody here feels okay about that, and that's all right with you. But that's my mahalach in general, that the Maral, in order to understand the Maral and to bring it into Avodah, I don't think we're going to do the whole thing. I see it looks like a lot of pages. But I didn't want to just stop it in the middle. We'll see how it's going. It's a maimer from the Rebbe Rashab, Reb Shalom Dov Ber from Lubavitch. It's extremely, extremely important, but if there's any of you, we'll do it Mitzvah for this week and for next week, and if there's, and then we'll continue with Parak Ches and the Maral. For those who have not learned any Mamorim in Chabad, so it's not a vart. You know what I'm saying? It's not like looking at a Mayam Shatayr or something, a two liner. It's very serious. It's a very serious business, the Chabad Chassidus. And what it does basically is it sort of takes us on a trip through different levels to bring down to earth the Indian that we've been learning the Maharal about mitzvahs and peiros and planting and the earth and so on. But it's not an easy limud, so we'll try it and we'll see how it goes. And then, you know, if it's hard for you, then it's only going to be a week. It's only going to be a week or two anyway, and we'll continue with the Maharal. Beginning on the right hand side. Oh, that's what you have. Just the right. That's how it goes. Ach ha'inyan hu tafresh mem dalet. Oh no, don't tell me. Oh, tafresh mem dalet. The page number could be upside down. Right. Tafresh mem dalet. Ach ha'inyan hu. You have it. Now there are certain parts that are too kabbalistic, so I'm not going to go into those. Of course, the parts that's also one of the difficulties when you're learning Chabad is that there's a lot of Kabbalah, and we're going to skip parts that's not for us right now. It says in Shir Hashirim, when describing, in Shir Hashirim, in the Song of Songs, when describing the Chosen, the Kala, so Shoykev Amudei Sheish, that his thighs, his legs, are like pillars of marble. This whole world is called Shoykov. Kivyachol, it's like Hashem's legs that descend into reality. And it's also connected to the word Shokav, which means these legs, from the word Nishtokek, Chazal say, that Hashem had a desire and a longing to create this world. The Rashab says, we don't know why. Why? We don't know why Hashem desired this world. Ragzos anu yodim. It's missing a word there. Shenishtoke kakadosh baruch livroso. But this we do know, and Chazal have revealed to us, and it's clear from Tanakh and from Torah Shebaal Peh, that Hashem desired to create the world. V'hu k'maymer Chazal, nis'av hakadosh baruch hu lios li yisbaruch dir b'sachtonim. And this is the teaching of Chazal, in the Medrash Tanchuma, also in Parshas Noso, that we've spoken about, that Hashem had a desire. Hashem desired to create the world. V'tzarech lahavim, we have to understand this. Also, original Rosh HaTevis that you'll never see anywhere else, the Rosh HaTevis. V'tzarech lahavim, we have to understand. Mahu inyan dir b'sachtonim. What is the meaning of this dwelling place in the lower world, that Hashem sought to dwell in the lower world? What does that mean, that Hashem sought to dwell in the tachtonim, in the lower world? Halo es shamayim v'esaretz ani malei. What does it mean? Hashem fills the heavens and he fills the earth. So what does that mean, to dwell in this world? He's everywhere. He's dwelling everywhere. He's here. So what does it mean that Hashem created the world because he desired to dwell in this world? The or ein sof, because the infinite light of Hashem, hu b'chol makom, is everywhere. The leis asar panui minei. As it says in the Zohar, there is no place that's empty, that's missing. There is no place without God. So what does it mean that he desired to be below? He is already here. Uksivan, as it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayir Malach Hashem Elov, that an angel appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush, right? An angel appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Sneh. Bitecha Sneh v'Amar Chazal. And Chazal taught on that pasuk that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from that bush. So Chazal say, She'ein mokem ponim hashchina afilu Sneh. That we have to realize that there isn't anywhere in the world that is godless, where there is no God, even this thorn bush. Dahainu shagam. What does that mean? That means dahainu shagam b'madreges hatachtoynas ein ponui mehashchina. That even the lowest reality in the world is filled with Hashem's presence. This, of course, is very much connected to Chanukah. I don't even think I have to explain it right now. That's all the meaning of what Chanukah is, and that's why the Chanukah menorah is davka lit. The chadchil is lit below 10 tefachim, which is interesting. Generally, there's a general principle that la'olam la'yoda shechina la'matim asar, that generally the shechina hovers above this world. That's how it's described in Chazal. But the menorah is lit davke la'matim asar, beneath that height of 10 tefachim, to indicate that Chanukah means Hashem revealing His presence in the darkest time, in the lowest place, in the lowest person, that Hashem is connected to each and every Jew. That's what Chanukah is. That's why it's the last Yontif. That's why it has to carry us through Golus. It's the last time that we saw that with clarity. It was at a period of time when there was no longer any Nevuah, there was no longer any prophecy, and we felt completely detached. And don't forget that there was a terrible movement of Hisyavnus, of assimilation and Hellenization. In general, things were not looking up. And the fact that miracle took place, and that the Pach Shem and the jar of oil was revealed in that place at that time, is a siman that the Shechina, that there is no place without the Shechina. Therefore, Mahu Inyan Lias Lirabisachton. What is the Inyan, therefore, what is the deeper meaning of this, that Hashem sought a dwelling place in the lower world? I mean, how do we talk about place and so on with Hashem? What is the meaning of above and below? What meaning does it have, above and below, those words? Des Hashemayim v'es Haaretz. That's a hard one, right? Des Hashemayim v'es Haaretz ani Molei. Hashem fills heaven and earth. Okay. This is now the beginning of a very basic discussion in Machshava, in Hashkafe, in Chassidus, that when it's properly integrated is something that we all need very, very much. But it's not easy. Ha'enyin hu. The meaning of this is as follows. Dehine yadua sheyesh shtei madreges. There are two general ways that godliness is revealed. V'hein mimali kol almin, v'soivev kol almin. Which means literally, Hashem fills all worlds and He surrounds all worlds. Memali kol almin, this is from the Zohar, that Hashem fills all worlds, memali kol almin, and He surrounds all worlds. He's in and He's above. That's why we have different mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are generally, physical mitzvahs are generally divided into two categories. Mekifin, which means surrounding, and pnimim, which means inner light and surrounding light. For instance, and it's, you could tell pretty, with most of them, you could tell right away. For instance, a talus is a makif, is a surrounding light. The chuppah, the chasna, is a surrounding light. Right? Tefillin. Lulav is an or a pnimi. There are mitzvahs that are surrounding, there are mitzvahs that are filling. We'll talk more about that later on. But there's surrounding light, and there's a light that fills all worlds. It says in the Zohar that Hashem fills all worlds, surrounds all worlds, and fills all worlds. The atzmus ein soif ein abigeder hashpar v'am shachar klal. A Jew has to realize, has to know, that the essence of God, the essence of Hashem, which we don't even speak about, the essence of God, there is no chilik, there is no separation, there is no distinction between above or below, surrounding and within. The essence of God is not something which can be drawn into this physical world. The essence of God cannot be drawn by this or by that into this world. Therefore, all revelations of godliness in all levels, in all worlds, in this physical world, in the world of angels, and so on, all revelations of godliness are agziv v'ha'ara min ha'atzmus. It's not the essence of God that's revealed in the world. It's merely a flash of godliness, a ray, a ha'ara min ha'atzmus. It is something that emanates, that is coming from his essence, but not the essence itself. Zehu inyan or ein sof. This is the meaning of the infinite light. Laharus shezohu rak ha'ora levad lo etzem. It's just a light. It's not him. It's a light of his presence. Ukamo or viziv hashemesh. Just like the light of the sun. Shuhurak ha'ora mehashemesh. Again, it is only a flash. It is only a ray of light that comes from the sun. De etzem hashemesh. The sun itself. Einu mispashet ba'olam. Does not come into this world. The actual sun itself is not, does not descend into the physical world. If it would, the entire world would be destroyed. It couldn't exist. The world couldn't exist. If Hashem's presence, if his essence were to be revealed, Hashem is everywhere, but if his essence were to be revealed, if we were to experience his essence, then we wouldn't be able to exist. We wouldn't exist. We wouldn't be able to live. Therefore, Rak Ha'ora Levad, with the sun, it's just a ray. It's just something that shines from the sun's essence into this world. And then we can enjoy the light of the sun and the warmth and the heat. Similarly, we all have godly souls. That means that there's godliness within each and every one of us. That doesn't mean that the essence of God fills us. If that would be, we would be destroyed. We couldn't exist. It's only or v'chias anefesh l'hachias aguf shein etzem haneshama mislabeshes beguf rak or v'ziv bilvad. Again, it's a ray. It's an emanation, a flash of that reality that penetrates into a human being. U'bo'or zeh yesh shtei madreges. And in this light, in a human being, there are two levels. He'achad, this is in order to help us understand the meaning of surrounding light and light that fills. So even with a human being, he'achad b'chinas or v'chias klali me'anefesh l'hachias z'aguf b'chlal. There's a general life energy that enters into a person, that gives life to a person, that keeps him breathing and alive, that causes him to be alive and to function. Shenabab is chalkus bevarim. That is not divided. That light is a general light. It does not enter into the. It's not divided into what? Into separate limbs. It's not divided into separate parts of the body. In other words, that light is not which runs the heart or the kidneys or the liver or the brain or the heart. That's not what that light does. It's a general thing. This general light, this surrounding light, so to speak, is called life. It's what gives life to the human being. It doesn't. It's not responsible for this limb or this organ. It's life, and it's b'shava. In other words, the brain from the most remarkable part of the brain, that cell, and the cell from the guy's little toe. It's all that life energy to be alive. That general light that enlivens the person from head to toe, that is one type of light. The bechlolus achiyus shehaguf chai mehaneshama, hara ekev shaberegel chai b'shova k'maharosh. The same way that your brain cells are alive. Oh, it's on the next page. Is Tofresh Memhei. I don't know how he stapled it. Yeah. The same way that your brain cells are alive because of that life energy, so too the cells in the bottom of your foot are alive. And it's an amazing thing, because nowadays, like with DNA, I think they could do such a thing. No, they could tell from even a little, I think it's true, no, they scratch, if it's a tiny piece of skin from the bottom of the person's foot, isn't that true that they could have the information for the entire person, right? They have the
toothbrush.
They have the information, right? Or even something from a cell from the person. They could reconstruct they understand the molecular or whatever it's called construct of that person. Because there is a life force that is equal, that is throughout. And I think that's what science is telling us, the same thing. There is that general life force. And this is the feeling that a person has, I'm alive. Not that how my arm feels, my toes, whether or not my toes are moving, whether whether I have a problem with my left eye, whether my ear is working, it's not that. It's this general feeling that I have that I'm alive. I'm living. From his head to his toe. That's one type of light. That's one type of energy that comes from Hashem's birth, that comes from the soul into our bodies. Vashenis, the second. Hu hachiyas shabo be'evarim protim. That is, now this, there is a light that is divided and then is sent to enliven each, from that general light, meaning from the light that gives life, that just gives us that reality of being alive. Now, from that light that gives life from the head to the toe, now that light sort of subdivides, also almost like cells, it then divides and it sends ha'aris, it sends illumination and life energy and force to the different limbs and the different organs, to every cell throughout the body. So now, this from that general surrounding light, there's an inner light that penetrates into my eyes and gives me the ability to see. Everything here, this is all from the Kisvei Ari and from the Zohar. This is not like, wow, this is really, he has a very vivid imagination. This is not his imagination. This is one of the most brilliant teachers of Chassidus explaining the Kisvei Ari. So now there's the ability to see. The koach hashmiya ba'ozen, and this koach of hearing that is given to the ear. Koach hatnul b'yad, the ability to move in the hand. Koach ahilach b'regel, the ability to walk in the foot. The koach haseichel b'moach shebarosh, and the ability to think that's in the mind. And that's connected, of course, to different mitzvahs, right? As we've been talking about, there are 248, 365 negative that correspond to the organs, to the limbs, and so on. Therefore, as I mentioned, I don't believe it was in this year, but I mentioned a different year that there was somebody that I knew that he was having, or maybe it was here, that he was having difficulty seeing. He was losing his eyesight. I mentioned it here. And the Moray 9, right?
No, it wasn't here?
I said in the shir in shul, maybe.
Rav Cook.
So, Rav Cook's here. So that was, I'm not going to go to Halmaise, but there was a Jew who was not from Chassidim at all and didn't really go for it, but for whatever reason, the summer prevailed upon him. He was losing his eyesight, and he told him, you don't have to go to the doctors, it's not going to help, you don't need any surgery. Learn the Moray 9 from the Chernobyl, the Sefer Moray 9, which means light of the eyes. And there's a Kabbalah by the Tzaddikim that it gives energy to the eyes on all levels, whatever that means. And this Yid, who is not a Chassid, he told us this, that it worked. And I told the end of the Maisa was that, so I asked him, do you still learn Moray 9? He says, no, I don't learn it. He says, why should I? I'm feeling this little misnagged. No, he says, I'm fine. So I thought after that, you'd become a, who knows what, you go to Chernobyl and throw yourself on his grave. He says, no, I'm feeling fine. That's, and I appreciate it. I have it in the house in case I have a problem. That's what he told me. That's a misnagged. So, the tzaddikim understood that koach, that inner light that gives the eye the ability to see is somehow emerging from the Moray 9. In other words, the Rebbe, it was called the Moray 9 because of that. It's not like, that sounds like a catchy title. That's why it's called Moray 9. So, this is divided and given and infused into each of the limbs, the organs, and so on. Kama achiyas shebeguf, v'chein achiyas haregel, and so on. I skipped the Sechel Mamach Shabrosh, I'm sorry, the fourth line. Now here we have distinctions. It is not the same type of light that gives the ability for the foot to move and the eyes to see. It subdivides into different quality. The Iker and the Tzaddikim know. Therefore the Tzaddikim were able to understand. What will help this Jew? What will help him move his hand? What will help him hear? What will help him see? The Iker Gilui Chius HaNefesh HuBerosh, certainly the highest form of revelation of this godliness, of this light, is certainly in the mind, in the head. Shesham Gilui HaSeichel, where the brain, the mind is revealed. V'kol Achushim HaNalim, man's most sublime organs are there. U'beguf U'mishkan HaMidos, and the guf, the body itself, of course, the heart, the liver. That's whenever you see about the heart and emotions and ruach and all of these things and the liver, that anger comes from the liver and so on, it means that midos, personality and characteristic traits, of course, this is descending from Chabad, the highest level, which is Chachma, Bina, and Das, and it descends through the body, and the heart, and the kidney, the liver, again, Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes. I'm not going into the subdivision of the spheres, but that's the place of the midos of one's personality. So I want to tell you something very amazing that I was reading during the summer. I stopped because it was too much to me. I was reading two articles. It was a science journal. Now, I take it easy a little bit in the summer. So I had a couple minutes. I was reading this. They have discovered, and the studies have just started in this area. It hasn't yet really been worked through with all the documentation and research. This is crazy. They're finding that when there are transplants, that the person who receives is affected by the personality of the person who gave, and thoughts and memories too. They're finding that it was impossible for that individual to know. Certain feelings, certain personality traits are affected. In other words, this guy gets a heart, this guy gets a liver, he gets a kidney, and there are inyanim there from the donor, which medically makes no sense at all. That shouldn't be happening, right, medically. There's a whole new area of study that... Of course, in the beginning, all the professors poo-poo, ach, Irish kind of can't be, and now, oh, well, we have to review this material, and, you know. But there's something going on. So therefore, it's a ruchnis dikke thing, and a ruchnis is not something I could see in the test tube or see under a microscope, but is it to be taken literally? Yes. Yes, it is. Ve'evarm ha'pnimen. Then the inner organs, shahachi is tolibahem. Uberegel, now the foot, of course, the extremities of the person are going to be the faintest, dimmest light. It's already fainter. That's why the heel already barely feels anything. The heel, even if you stick a pin in it, it doesn't hurt so much. If you stick a pin in your eye, it's gefährlich. But in the heel, it doesn't hurt. It's come out nothing. Uberegel ba'korach ha'hiluch shukorach yoser achman. This is the lowest level. That's why we're called Ikvus of the Mashiach, right? We're now living through the last period of time, which is called the heels, the footsteps of Mashiach. Because we're so far from the beginning. The tzaddikim are called the eyes of the people. Einei ha'eda. Rosh kol b'nei Yisrael, right? The leaders are called Rosh kol b'nei Yisrael. Because even historically it works this way. All of history is like one body, from the head, and now we're at the bottom of the foot. All of history. So this light and this subdivision of light gives life to each person, and to his limbs, his organs, and it also gives life to the world and to mankind as a whole, and also through history, different periods of history, eyes, ears, hands, and so on, till you get to the bottom. But that's also, as the Tanya explains, even that little cell from the heel is the same cell as the Reich. That means that even the smallest, simplest little Jew who's having problems getting up in the morning for Shachris, he has the same spiritual makeup as what? As the Vilna Gaon Nechtzam Seif and Rabbi Kiva and Abaye and Rav. That's amazing. Well, Kamoy Chen, Ulamala. And the same way that it is with the human being, the same way that it is with the person, with the individual human being, Well, Kamoy Chen, Ulamala, so it is above, meaning in how Hashem relates to the world. Well, Kamoy Chen, Ulamala, Bechinus Ha'or Hamislabesh Ba'ilamis, Bepnimius Ba'ilamis. This is a fundamental concept in Chassidus, that when we spoke before about surrounding light and light that fills, the life of all worlds, the life of all existence, is the Or Ein Sof, is the infinite light of God. That infinite light of God, however, were it to fill, were it to penetrate into the separate, individual pieces of reality, there could be no reality. We don't have the kalim, we don't have the utensils, the vessels to receive that. But nevertheless, the Rebbe explains, Kmeichin Ulamal, Bechinus Oram is slabish by Lamis, the Pnimius by Lamis. She's our Ora Shabai, they come at Simtsuman. Ad Shabob of Chinus is slabish Pnimius. No, so, no. This unbelievable, powerful, infinite ray of divine light. It doesn't penetrate into the separate pieces of reality, not into China, not into America, not into the Vilna Gaon, not to Chassam Sofer, not to this, not to that. It's mislabish ba'olamis. It is the life of all worlds. It gives life to everything. It produces reality, but then it has to go down and down and down to lower and lower levels of light, till finally, it's able to give life to what? To the organs of reality, which means a lake, a river, a blade of grass, a mind, a heart, that a person can say poetry, this person can read the newspaper. Tzimtzum im tzimtzum. The same way that there's that general light that gives life, that's called life itself, which we don't understand exactly what this does. What is that thing called life? What is it? It's also something that comes from that infinite light. But then it goes. Then that light is constricted, contracts, goes down to lower and lower, lower levels, till it's able to be received. As we've spoken about, the mashal that I always give to explain this is with electricity. Right? I've spoken about that many times. That obviously, if you were to take this bulb and to connect it to Con Edison, it wouldn't be good. It wouldn't provide light. It would shatter. It would blow up the whole house. Chalila, there'd be nothing. So this bulb is like an organ. That means that the light from Con Edison has to go through many. Let's just call that the infinite light. Of course, it's not. I mean, they might think so, but it's not. So we'll call Con Edison the infinite light. That gives life. Yes, it's called electricity. And in its root and source, we can't touch it. You can't say, let me see some of that stuff. You can't say that. What you have to do is to have proper kalim, proper utensils and vessels that man makes in order to be able to receive that light. And this is what's amazing. So here, Con Edison appears as light from a light bulb. If you go a couple of feet into Nussi's kitchen, so then it comes out like cool air in the refrigerator. You go to another room, it comes out like the heat in the iron. So your first reaction would be to say, there are many gods in this home. There are many gods. There's the god there's the god of the fridge. And that is pretty much what most of mankind believed in for a long time, and many people still believe in different, more sophisticated ways. There's the god of the light bulb. Right? So we understand that there's the infinite light of God that gives life to all worlds, which we don't have access to. But it's mislabesh by limits. And then it goes through many, many levels, lower and lower and lower, which is what's called the tzimtzum, that tzimtzum, but it's taking place all the time. Until it's able to enter into the world of those individual, the light bulbs and so on, right? That's called tzimtzum. Shezoha or shabal yidei kamet tzimtzum ad shabob b'chinis eslabshus pnimi k'mesh kosev v'ata mechayis kulam. So we say v'ata means then you Hashem mechayis kulam. You, only one Hashem. There's no God of the light bulbs and of the refrigerator. You, ata, mechayis kulam. Everything. Hashem's chiz is mechayis kulam. V'ata mechayis kulam. The same way that the soul is mechayed, gives life to the body. Hashem gives life to the world. Now everything is given its own individual life by how? By this division or constriction and shrinking, not shrinking, it's not, the constriction, descent to lower and lower levels to be divided by elements. We don't have to go to that. But the different levels of existence, of course, the different worlds. This is the world. This world that we're in right now is called Asiya. We're actually in Asiya Shavasiya. This is Asiya, or in the world of action. The higher worlds of angels and other levels of existence. This world, of course, the light, the infinite light of Hashem, is so unbelievably constricted. It's descended so many levels. That we're now in a world where we could actually feel and touch and think, and not only that, but people could say there is no God at all. There is no Con Edison. I don't believe there's any Con Edison. It's only here. I created it. I made it. Like Paro thought, like all the Rishayim thought. It's my life. It's from within. That's how many levels is descended. And subdivided and subdivided and subdivided. Again, each sphere is subdivision. Mamish like a cell, dividing again. And then in the higher levels of existence, by the angels, and the shamas, and the souls, there's less concealment, because it hasn't yet descended so many levels, by the angels. This light that gives life to the separate, distinct levels of reality, this light is called Mimalikal Amen, the inner light of reality that gives life to each separate individual thing. So in the house, that would be that particular way that fixture is made, and that fixture is able to contain that electricity and to express the electricity in the form of light. And then the refrigerator receives a certain amount. It could be a higher amount of that light that the refrigerator needs, right? And that refrigerator is functioning the way of cooling things because of that light that's subdivided in the way that vessel, that utensil, was designed to receive it. Shebchinas eslabshus b'alim shebchinas pnimis ava mahus elyain or ein seif shebchinas gili ha'atzmus. However, the essence of God himself, that infinite light of Hashem Himself, Hagam Shazogam Kain Ha'ar Levad, even though you have to know that, like we said before, it's not Mamish the sun, it's just something that emanates from the sun. In other words, there is certainly an emanation of godliness from Hashem Yisborach that comes to the world to give light and life to the world. But that even that is only Ha'ar Levad, that's only a ray, like coming from the sun. That is not constricted, that is not descended, that only afterwards is subdivided. But in itself, it comes in a very powerful form from Hashem Kivyachal. Shebichinis Ein Sof Mamish, which is infinite. Shelamalim Bichinis Establishes by Lumis Relais Machshovet Tfisei Baklal. That means that no thought can grasp it. Relais Machshovet Tfisei Baklal. No thought, no human mind is capable of comprehending the infinite light of God that emanates into this world. The mind is not capable of comprehending it. Just like I can't deal with electricity. I can't go into the generator in Con Edison and be typhus and grab hold of something. It's not shy. It'll kill me. If I tamper with it, it'll kill me. I can't take hold of that infinite essence. Are you okay? You doing all right so far? I don't know. Is this... You're suffering a lot or a little? It's all right? I mean, this is heavy duty chassidus, you know. Most people think chassidus like... Somebody once told me, I was once learning, and this is when I still lived in Farakwa, so I was doing something with Psalter. And there was a guy that was there. It was on Friday night, he just walked in a little bit. He was a neighbor. But he just lived there for a little while. We had a little group. We were learning chassidus and Psalter. So he said, I thought you guys just tell stories and sing. I didn't know. You guys have more of this stuff? Like, what is this? This is heavy duty stuff, right? But I do think that it's important, and it's a really very important introduction b'chlal to what life is about. And you'll see that by next week we're going to start to talk about mitzvahs ma'isis, exactly what we're learning in the Maharal, but mamish, going all the way to prote protim, to what the Maharal was talking about. But I apologize if it's something which is uncomfortable for you. I like it a lot. This is for years. I was learning these a lot, not so much the last few years, but I was learning this. You need a lot of time. This is the Rebbe Rashab from Lubavitch. This is already one of the easiest from, but Tafresh Ayin Beis. There's a maimer from Rashab, Tafresh Ayin Beis. There's three volumes. Each one's around 800 pages. It's one Torah. Around 3,500 pages. It's one Torah that he said over the course of 1 year, Tafresh Ayin Beis. Listen to this. And it's divided according to the parashiyas, starting from Bereishis till the end with all the Yom Tovim, but it's one Hemshech. You know that? You know, try doing that. In other words, it's one concept, the entire year, which he then brought into each parasha, into each yontiv, for over 3,000 pages, Tafresh Ayin Beis. I would love to learn that in the shul if you had really. I learned around half of it a long time ago. It's unbelievable. It's something.
After the Shabbos.
After
the Shabbos year.
Tafresh Ayin Beis, but you know, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
Chris, every 7 years.
No, it was, you can imagine, Tafresh Ayin Beis. Such a mime, he said. And he was an unbelievable genius. They call him in Chassidus the Rambam. That kind of concentration, the thought, was hafal. He used to speak 9-10 hours straight. Adam used to go back and come daven, go back, eat. Most of the people didn't understand. He used to talk like this with his eyes closed. And Rav Zevin, you heard of Rav Zevin? Rav Zevin was there. He was by the Rishab. So he wrote that he used to stand there. There would be thousands of chassidim, and the Rishab would say a maimer like this 9-10 hours with his eyes closed, a maimer, and he was always going shh shh, and there wasn't a sound in the whole of Bismedrish. He was going, shh shh, and he was quieting. The thoughts were pushing, were rushing, and he would go like that all the time, shh, just to say. He was mitzamtzem to be able to say, because the light was infinite for a human being. Of course, it's not infinite, but that light was so powerful that he didn't have the kelim with his mouth. He used to always quiet himself down and to be able to say the words. To be able to say the words, it was something unusual. So he says that. It's not just us that have it. You shouldn't feel bad. It's not that we don't. We're not the only ones that don't grasp God. The angels also. We say that in davening all the time, right? Aye mekom kavodo. Kodesh, kodesh, kodesh. Right? Hashem tzvakas melo chol haaretz kavodo. So it sounds like they really have some inside information, right? I am a kavodah. And even kadosh, kadosh, kadosh doesn't mean that they grasp. Certainly it's a higher level of them, but they don't grasp it either. The infinite can't be grasped. He says, chengam, olam asal yonim, the higher worlds also, ein lahem shum hasaga bar insof, baruch hu, they don't grasp the infinite light. Ke'enu b'chinas hislapshus liyas musig, because it's not something which is enclosed in reality. It's not in reality that you could it can't be grasped. It cannot be grasped. Just like the sun itself cannot be grasped in this world. It's not here. It's not in reality. V'hula ma'ilam mihasagi. It transcends all understanding. V'hagam de'asa shamayim v'asaretz ani malei. Now, you realize that there are certain people who would learn these things and they would start to wonder, you mean God's not here? Is that what it means, chas v'shalom? It's interesting, because there were those who attacked chassidus because of that, and then the others were attacking because how come the chassidim say that God is everywhere, even in the place of tumah? They got it from both sides. It's just a misunderstanding. That's not what it means. The Rebbe says, "V'hagam I, esher shemayim v'esaretz ani malei." Says in pasuk, not just this pasuk, says over everywhere in Tanakh. Says what? I, Hashem says, I fill the heaven and the earth. I fill heaven and earth. So you would think that means I, meaning His essence. It means the sun itself. So the Rebbe says, of course God fills all reality. Of course God fills all reality. The essence of God does fill reality. But Hashem does not allow us to partake of that. We don't have access to it. Of course, don't make the mistake to think that he's saying, God forbid, that the infinite essence of God is not here. Chas v'shalom. Of course it is. But we can't see it. We can't connect to it. Even the Nevi'im. Even the Arizal, the Eitz Chaim begins with Arizal. So the Arizal said, it's in the beginning of Eitz Chaim, and Chaim Vital brings it, that we begin by saying, Ein Sof. The Arizal introduced all of his teachings by saying this. He says, Rabbi Yisai, I'm just talking about what's been revealed to human beings. Zehu. I'm not talking about the infinite light. We're not allowed to talk about the infinite light. We don't understand it. So it does fill all reality. But there's no nafkim in it because it's not something which is revealed to us. It's beyond revelation. It's beyond grasp. And that's why, you know, if you think about these things which is what Chabad is all about. And it's not enough, of course, we have to do a lot more. But when a person is misboinein, when you think deeply, that despite this unbelievable exaltedness of God and what it means, He cares about whether I made a shahakal or whether you made a shahakal. And He cares when you daven to Him. And that it means something when you say that I'm worried about my friend. I'm worried. That's when you think about that, you could fall hopelessly in love with Hashem. Just by thinking about that. That the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is mislabish, no ilum is tzimtzum achat, into your stupid life. With your narishkeit. When Rabbi Nosson said to Rabbi Nachman once, so Nosson, there was a certain Indian that he was going through. He had terrible tzaras with Shalom Bayis, with Nosson Basel, with Shalom Bayis, because he went to Rabbi Nachman. He was supposed to be like one of the biggest Rabbanim in the whole world. He was a huge guy. And he just stayed with Rabbi Nachman. He wrote the Svarim and then settled with the wife and the father-in-law. It was a very messy business. So he had tzaras. So he asked Rabbi Nachman about one particular Indian that happened that he needed an aid, just what to do, something with the wife, where to move to this town, whatever. And Rabbi Nachman told him, daven, I don't know, daven. You should have behiris for clarity. So Nelson said, for this I should be matriach, the Rabbi Shalom. Like, so to speak, like, for this I should talk about an Irish guy, you know. So Rabbi Nachman said, what are you talking about? It says in the Gemara. The Gemara says, l'ais mitzai. The Gemara gives different opinions. Al-Zaisis palakal chas l'ais mitzai. The Gemara said that for this, the righteous person davens at its time, to find it at its time. And the different things in the Gemara, what does that mean? So it means a zivig, it means a wife, and so on. And it means also, afilo what the Beis HaKisa. What does that mean? It means that even that you should have hatzlach in the bathroom. An older person who has tzaros knows that his whole life is affected by that. But stam, the Beis HaKisa. Even that. So that Kadosh Baruch Hu is from the infinite light to that level of reality that I could say, Baruch Shalom, I'm having problems with my stomach, I need a little bit siyata d'shamayta miyataiva. And what that means. If you think about it, that thought, but it doesn't mean a passing thought, if you're mismoining in that, if you think about it and contemplate and meditate, it's moilid, such an ahav, an appreciation and a love for Hashem is Baruch. As it begins, Helen Bilvat. Now we're coming to part B, so let's go. At least we'll start it now. This, he says, is the avoida of every Jew in this world, of Nishmas Yisrael. This is what Jews are here for. Listen carefully. What are we here for? Ubezehi avoida the Nishmas Yisrael. La hamshich. Listen carefully. La hamshich gilui bechinas or ein sof as soviv kolamin. Which means the job of a Jew in this world is to be able, through our mitzvahs and masim tovim, through our learning Torah, our davening, our mitzvahs, but most profoundly through the performance of physical mitzvahs, to be able to draw from that flash of infinite light, remember, that gives life, that general flash that gives life, to be able to draw it more and more. Hashem gave us the ability to draw it more and more into physical reality, into the tachtonim, into lower reality. And that's why Chanukah is especially amazing. We'll talk about it at the end. But to be able to mamish, to be mamshich that light, that's why the Mizritch Maggid explained, and others, how was the Torah given to us? Hashem held a mountain over our heads. Right? Kof alem har kigigis. Hashem held a mountain over our heads. What does that mean? Alright, well, you're all the threat and all this, I'm going to drop it on you. What does it mean? Lamaise. What it means, the Mizritch Maggid and others taught, what it means is a very remarkable thing. The avodah of a Jew is that through, in right now, you and I, each one of us on a different level, there are certain things that you know and there are certain things that I know. There are certain things in Yiddishkeit, in Ruach Nis, that I'm aware of and that you're aware of. And not, we're all different. This one went to this yeshiva, this one went to this sefer, we're all different. Some more, some less, similar, but we're all different. We're all different, what we know. Right? Now, right now, there are some of you here that never saw these kind of things, right? It means it wasn't part of your consciousness. It was above your consciousness. It was a mountain that was held over your head. It was above your consciousness. Like the chuppah, like the sukkah, like the schach. like the talus that's over your head. It was above your consciousness. Avodas Hashem means constantly, struggling constantly, to draw that next level that is surrounding, and to draw it that it should fill my existence, that it should fill my very being, that it should fill me completely, that it should be part of my life. It should go through that subdivision, like the cellular division. It should go into my being, into my essence, and affect my life and everything that I do. That's why the mountain was held over our heads, as Mr. Shemaget says. Because that means that hasogis, awareness of godliness, what I already know is called nasa. That's what I'm doing. What I want to know is called let me hear it, nishma. That's drawing it into my consciousness, into my consciousness. For instance, you have a person, you know, this has happened to each and every one of us. Sometimes there's somebody that you might have met, somebody you knew 20 years ago. And someone said, hey, you remember Moshe Kapoy from Yeshiva? Moshe Kapoy. And you can't put it together. You know he's there, but it's over your head. You know what I'm saying? Moshe Kapoy is there somewhere. But then somebody said, man, he wore glasses and he did this and you remember, he used to like that. And then slowly, Moshe Kapoy. And then Moshe's back in your life, right? You don't have to do that with your mother. Even though it could be that the mother already was already not part of this world from 40, 50 years ago, if you knew your mother, you were fortunate to be with your mother, in a second, you could draw that, the picture's there, mama's there. It's something which fills you. The avoid of Nishmas Yisrael is the avoid of drawing from the surrounding into the penetrating, subdivided light. That's what all Torah Mitzvahs is about. This is what the Zohar says. This is the truth. This is the Emes L'Amita. We have to learn to understand more what it means. But that's why the mountain was held over our heads. That's how the Torah was given. It's very much connected to a chuppah, which they don't know. What does he know about her? What does she know about him? So the Chachamim, they go out 12 years. They go out, because then they think they know each other, and then they're divorced after 2 weeks. So it turns out it was always a surrounding light after all. After all, it turns out it was not a surrounding light. But they found out too late. Right? The chuppah means, and whenever there's the surrounding light, the only way you can go on living is with emunah. Emunah, emunah, pshut, emunah, emunah. And we'll talk about that, how that works into this emunah. Vizel, that's just another 5 minutes. Vizel, chayiv adam levarech meya brachas b'chol yoyim. Now, when you learn this concept, you begin to understand what's a bracha. A bracha means to draw something into this world. As the Rishon already said, that bracha comes from which word? Brecha. That's in the Rishonim, right? That's found in the Rashba and other Rishonim. Bracha comes from the word brecha. What is a brecha? A pool. Something that collects from another place. A brecha means, it's supposed to take from the water that comes from the mountains and so on, and it collects, like a mikveh. A brecha. So what is a bracha? So chayav amul brach mei brachas b'chal yom. So the Gemara tells us that every Jew should make 100 brachas, has to make 100 brachas a day. And that means the ma'isa, 100 brachas a day. Sha'amis b'demei, hum neisha zehu b'chinis ha-keser, chamesha kosa b'zor, kutsha b'yichu d'skala mei osa yiloh, sasim d'chal, sasim in brachas d'mei b'chorin. Okay, that's a little bit a surrounding light for us right now. That's not something we're holding by. But just know that it says in the Zohar that number 100 is connected to that highest level that's called the crown, which means the infinite light. And that, by the way, is why that highest level is called a crown, because the crown surrounds. Also, it's a surrounding light. 100 is connected to the keser, to the crown. And the Zohar says that is the secret of making 100 brachas a day. So the Rebbe explains now, the Rashab explains, what is that? What does it mean, 100 brachas? What's this with the crown? What is that? The Indian ha-bracha hu b'chinas gilui. What's the point of a bracha? Let's take the bracha that we all are very familiar with. Let's take birchas kahanim duchanim. Nisias kapayim. So the kahanim go up and they make a bracha. Asher gidish ha-mesoi yisam b'simil l'brachas ma'am yisam b'ahava. So they make a bracha that Hashem should bench the Jewish people b'ahava. L'brachas ha-am yisal b'ahava. It means that when we make that bracha, when the kahanim say that and we stand there to receive the bracha, what is being accomplished is somehow drawing from the infinite light that gives life to all worlds, from Kan Edison, and we're trying to bring it down, that's what the bracha, to be mamshich that, that Hashem, that these Jews in this shul who are standing here by the Kahanim and have their eyes closed and they're facing the Kahanim, that it should be Ahava, for good health and for the brach and so on. It should be Bechinas Gilui. That's when you go to a tzaddik. So get to the tzaddik. Give yourself a brach. You're a Jew. What do you have to do? You have to go to a tzaddik. Give yourself a bracha and ask him. The teretz is that there are different types of antennas. You realize that? It's true that every Jew has access to the infinite light and can make these deposits, these withdrawals from above and deposits below. Everybody can do it. You have to have a very refined, a tzaddik is a very strong antenna. A tzaddik is a very strong antenna. Meaning that the tzaddik can be mamshich, can be megala, can reveal down to the little nitty gritty of life, your ears, your eyes, from that light, that you don't know how to access that. You have your own antenna, but it's just, it's just not the same. It's not the same. A tzaddik. And it's all connected to eating the food of a tzaddik. To understand these, the people that weren't brought up that way or never learned the Indian of what Shiraim, they don't realize what that means, that to eat the food of a tzaddik. What an Indian to eat the food of a tzaddik. Huh? In the house?
I'm okay. No.
In town, I heard you.
I'm okay.
Oh, I'm okay. Not to, if a person understood that, if a person understood that, he would punch the other guy to get a piece, which they do. And, I'm still limping from the gerich. Oh boy, I'm still in pain from that. What was going on over there? But someone that doesn't understand it, again, I'm not saying that all the chaver they were raised in that, and they have simple amunah. And there are those who learn and understand. What does that mean to eat the food of a tzaddik? What does that mean, bechlal? What kind of yeshuas and refuas? What does it mean? There's a friend of mine who's, I once said this in shul, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, is a friend of mine who had a cousin that didn't have a child for a long time. And they went and they made a special trip for 2 days. Really, it was back and forth to go to the Baba Sali. There was a tzaddik in America. I forgot which one who said that he has to go. They have to go to the Baba Sali for this. They have to go to the Baba Sali. He couldn't do it. I don't remember. But it was a big tzaddik here in America, in New York. I just don't remember who that was. He said, I can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to the Baba Sali. He goes to the Baba Sali. I heard this ma'aser from him. We were sitting together. He said he went to Baba Sali, and Baba Sali, it was very hard to understand him. Were any of you by the Baba Sali? I was lucky to be there once. It was very hard to understand. He said things in Arabic also. It was hard to understand. So he was by the Baba Sali. The Baba Sali made a bracha on a glass of water, and his hands were shaking. He poured it into something, and then they poured it into a container. It was sealed, and the Baba Sali told them that before she goes to the mikveh, when she comes back from the mikveh, she should make a shahakal to drink that, and that they'll have a child in 9 months. This is the whole reason they came to Eretz Yisrael. So he told me they didn't even take it. They didn't have any luggage. They just had carry on. And there were mice going on at that time with hijackings and stuff too. And they were in London on the way back from Eretz Yisrael, and the guy opened up the thing, and the thing fell on the floor and broke into the water, spilled on the floor in Heathrow Airport. They went all the way to Eretz Yisrael for that. For that one little thing of water from the Baba Sali, and it was broken in the airport. So he was broken into more pieces, and so was she. So they called up in the Tivot to call the Shamas to cry. Not they didn't know what to do. They'll take a flight back. So they got on the phone, and the Shamas says, "Yes, I know. The Rebbe told me you're going to be calling, and not to worry. The bracha is still chal. You're going to have a baby in 9 months. Don't just go to New York. That's what happened to them. The Kachave." And 9 months later, they had a baby boy. A Maisa Shahaya. That when there's a Madrega of Amunah, so it's hard for people that are not from that world to understand. What does that mean, Bichlal? And the Hiskashvus, because I guess the Tzaddik was saying that the Ikkei Hiskashvus was already made by the Mesiris Nefesh to travel all the way to Eretz Yisrael. That's a Gevaldige Keli. That's a Gevaldige Kli. To travel such a distance, to go for 2 days, to come to a Tzaddik. So the Rebbe said, it's okay, it'll be alright. I mean, the tzaddik probably had to do some avoid. When they called, he says, yes, the rabbi said he called. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I heard a postscript to the story from a historian.
Yeah, it was well known.
He asked, and the Baba Sali told him that the only reason that they did it, but it doesn't look like it's a total magic thing.
Yeah, it's just
and he felt right away that this thing, this bracha is not going to have a kiyum.
It's to give Eichet Timsa. I was zeich to be by the Baba Sali when I was 17. I was by the Baba Sali. 16, 17, I was by the Baba Sali. He only ate by a Sudas Mitzvah, you know that? He only ate Sudas Mitzvah. So Yad said this now. He never stopped a Sudas Mitzvah. It was in a room, there must have been 200 people. I don't remember which Rebbe's Yad said it was, not the Baba Sali. I was there when this happened. I'm not telling you something I heard. That the Baba Sali was pouring wine. Everybody came to him, including me, were pushing to get wine. And when the Baba Sali took a towel, he wrapped around the bottle. I saw that I was sitting there, the bottle had only like this much left. And then he wrapped the towel around the bottle, and for the next 3 hours he was still pouring from that bottle. I was standing, and I was a big skeptic. So I was like this. I didn't care what he was doing. I was just looking at that. I want to see what's going on over here. And I'm watching this thing, and I said to somebody, I said, you see that? What's going on? What's going on? There are no other bottles over here. That's the only bottle on the table. And he's saying, Chaim, the whole night in that bottle. Covered. That's the sea such a thing. I was supposed to see. He was something that's... He was from earlier years. You have certain tzaddikim, like, and it's like from a different time that the Baruch Shalom sent to remind us that there is such a thing. Akapanim, what we're going to start with next week, please remember to bring, we'll leave them all by Nosi, that we're going to learn the Indian of bracha and davening. When you make brachas, what happens? And then we can talk about mitzvahs and planting and the seeds and the earth, all the way down to the bottom world of Kisova El Haaretz. I hope it's alright, but so Mitzvah will be alright.